Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. Nikki Morissette, we are back.
We are back.
We are always back.
We're always ready.
We are always ready, and we never left. We have been here for 7 days straight.
I don't know. I put up with you that long.
I don't know. We've been showering in the sink. What a great show. What a great day.
Yes, it's a beautiful day.
Beautiful day. And if you're just tuning in for the first time.
What took you so long?
No, seriously. We have a huge, this show. No. Is this show huge?
Yes, it is.
Who's back?
Tyler.
This Tyler is back in the studio, ready to report on. Wow, we got a lot of stuff to report on.
Yes, we do.
We've had week after week after week of just enormous, gigantic, huge shows.
Yes, we have.
Dr. Bob was on last week running for the 97th District House of Representatives. Good friend of the show. Get out and vote for Dr. Bob.
Yep.
And, and again, we welcome his opponents to come on the show.
Correct, we do.
So get out and vote for them.
Yes.
But I can say this. I support Dr. Bob.
Yes, we do.
That's what I'm saying.
And I've taken a lot of phone calls at the radio station asking for your number and all that, so all because of these shows, so that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Michigan House of Representatives, Jeff Irwin, on a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
And if you can't find the shows online, it's on iTunes, and they're free.
Yep, and then Podbean and SoundCloud.
Big shout out here. I got a bunch of shout outs.
Okay.
Harry. Always listens to the show from Temple. Big shout out to Harry from Temple.
All right.
And so, Harry, thanks for tuning in.
Yes, thank you.
And also, Larry from Lake. My buddy Larry from Lake was here to help me out with some electrical issues.
Yes, and he did.
He did. Did a great job. But how's your weekend going?
It's going wonderful.
What do you got going on today?
Well, today, of course, it's Sunday, so I go see my grandsons. But yesterday, I spent the day out in Frankenmuth, and I haven't been there in years.
Yeah,
really nice to go there.
I used to watch the little things come out of the tower on the hour.
The little birds in the clock.
No idea. Is that what those were, birds?
Oh, they got people, too. So.
Okay. You know what I'm doing today?
What are you doing?
I mean, do you really care?
I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you're like Facebook. No, Facebook friends like things, and they don't even know what they're liking. They don't even care.
I do care.
I just want you to know, I'm on Facebook with my fraternity brothers, but, I'm so tired of all the food and the family dinners and the birthday parties and all the holiday pictures. I don't care. And frankly, nobody cares. If you really think about it, there's only a handful of people who really care about you.
True.
Everything else is just made up.
Okay.
Like that Pokemon.
Well, that's depressing.
Like the Pokemon craze. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I am. I saw it on my daughter's phone.
If you don't know what's going on in the world, folks, with this Pokemon craze, I'm not going to go over it right now because we have a lot of law to get to. We have a whole lot of law to get to.
Yes, I see all the papers.
And Tyler has a ton. But it's unbelievable. People are walking around with this new Pokemon game. It's revolutionizing video gaming.
Right. At least, though, people are actually getting some exercise and not sitting at home. Yeah. That's the one thing I see good about it.
Look, if you want to exercise, I'll tell you how to exercise. Get
this is at least getting them out of the house.
To walk somewhere and look in your phone and then you're going to hurt your neck? That's exercise. Okay, I'm walking, but yet I need to go see a physical therapist.
It's better than sitting on the couch playing video games.
I agree. I'm going to a plane show after the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool.
Did you know that there is a show going on?
No, I didn't.
Nor did I, but on the way here, I saw some planes watering crops in one of the far reaches of the county. I'm not joking.
Okay.
Whoever flies these crop planes, these guys are retired fighter pilots. I'm not kidding you. On the way here this morning, I had to stop, and I just watched this plane go up and down and turn and dive. I thought I was watching a movie.
Really?
I'm going back to that field after the show, And I'm going to sit there on the hood of my truck, like Transformers or like in a movie with the sun going down. I'm going to turn on 98.5, listen to some soft classic rock, some good heart. What's soft about it? Let's just rock.
No, there's no, it's not
Let's
soft.
Let's just go. And I'm going to watch the planes, water, crops. Okay. I'm going to stay away from the chemicals.
Please.
But I'm going to watch the planes, water, crops.
All right. Sounds like a good afternoon.
That's what attorney
for you.
Todd Olev is doing. Big shout out to Judge Janes.
Okay.
Out of the 76th District Court and his court staff, Amy Murphy and Andy Foster. They do an amazing job over there. You know, a lot more often than not, people complain.
Yes, they do.
You and I are very, you, Tyler, myself, very optimistic.
Yes.
We like to spread positive karma.
Yes.
And it's fair to say we're like this all day long.
We try to be.
You know, if I lay my head down at any time during the day, I'll crash out. I use so much energy. I need so many carbs per hour just to keep this thing going.
Those coffee beans.
I walk around with carbs in my pockets.
Okay.
Like fuel. Because I could burn out at any time of the day, and I got to make sure I don't burn out in front of my good friend, Judge James.
Oh, yeah. Please don't.
His brother, Doug, was my fraternity brother.
Really?
Sig Epps.
Okay.
Look, if anyone from CMU is listening, let the Sig Epps back on campus. My fraternity got banned for life in 1999. How can you run and be part of a public university and not allow a fraternity to recolonize?
You got banned?
Banned for life while other fraternities have come and gone. Imagine, folks. Wait, listen, hold on. All you listeners out there, imagine if you belong to a club, as I'm a fraternity guy. Those are my brothers. You belong to an organization. And somebody has so much control over you, they tell you that you can no longer wear your fraternity colors or whatever represents your company, and you're banned from that county or that region for life. And all the thousands of members that came before you can no longer enjoy and be part of their life experience in that area. That's what the university did to Sig Epps.
Wow.
We're banned for, and I tried to get us back on. I tried year after year, and I don't think, maybe the individuals at the university had something against myself because I'm an attorney and I advocate hard for my students, and they don't like that. I don't know, but CMU will not allow the Sig Epps back on campus.
Wow.
And this is a fact. So CMU, I invite anyone from CMU that handles the fraternities and sororities and tall, the listening audience and the world audience, because we're podcasting on iTunes, why you will not allow the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity back on campus. Oh, because they were bad boys in the 70s. And this is what they're going to say. Well, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, they were bad boys. They did things they shouldn't, so therefore they're banned for life. Okay, how many generations have gone by?
Yeah, and how many other fraternities do the same thing?
They've come and gone, and I've watched it.
Yeah.
I represent fraternities. Anyway, that's my beef today. It's with CMU, my alma mater. I love Central. Fire up chips. I support Central. But I'm not happy that my alma mater, has banned and has punished, you know, future Sig Epps from joining this great organization. So will you join me and invite someone from CMU to come on the show and explain why we can't get the Sig Epps back on campus?
Yeah, they have to have a reason why.
I will send out invitations just like we did, Tyler, for the men and women in the House of Representatives and Senate who blocked the People's Initiative a couple weeks ago in regards to medical marijuana. I'm going to do the same thing with Central. We're going to make some phone calls next week and invite everyone to come on and show and give the listeners an explanation.
There we go.
Because we want to know.
Yes.
I'm not happy.
I'm sure a lot of people want to know.
They want to know.
Yes.
There's people who come to me and say, I'd like to become a Sig Epp at Central. And I say, guess what?
You can't.
Banned for life.
Wow.
Jeez. Who are these people that are banning the Sig Epps for life? Can I tell you something? What high horse do they think they're sitting on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, really, folks? That's what you
we
think of yourself?
We need somebody over here to explain.
Yeah, how about that? Explain that. All right. What are we going to talk? We have a lot to talk about today. We have an article on Tyler's going to come on here in a moment and talk about Michigan State Police. Get this, folks. This is horrible. The state police are now picking counties. Roadside drug, the Michigan State Police are picking counties for roadside drug testing programs. So this is ridiculous. Did you hear what I just said, folks? The Michigan State Police are going to choose and pick the top counties in which to set up roadside blocks to test your blood, folks, in regards to illegal drugs and alcohol at will.
Wow.
Well, Tyler will come on and talk about that.
Wow.
And we're also going to talk about pharmaceutical companies and how they are fighting against the legalization of marijuana in states across the country. That makes a lot of sense. I don't agree with it, but the article that we're going to discuss, I mean, if you think about it, the level of opiate addiction in this country and the pharmaceutical companies, well, there's reports out there now, accurate reports that show that the states that have legalized marijuana, prescription, and Dr. Bob talked about this, prescription overdose and usage is down.
Yes, which is a good thing.
Right, but think about the pharmaceutical companies that make all that money, and I'm not saying that anyone or any individual or any particular company, pharmaceutical company, you know, is the cause of people committing suicide or overdosing, but think about the money involved, folks. It's all, yeah. All I want you to think about is the money, and you make your own determination. We're going to talk about that right after the break, Nikki.
All right.
Let's go to break and bring back the SIGEPS to CMU.
Yes.
I'm going to start a people's initiative in Lansing.
There we go.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Fired up on a Sunday morning. Nikki Morissette in studio, drinking a bottle of water, looking lovely over there with her eyeglasses atop her noggin and a black blouse this morning. And we're joined by Tyler B. Webb, a Levitt Law Firm, senior law clerk, future lawyer, my right-hand man, Tyler. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be back. It's been a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in for the first time, I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, and who are you?
I'm Tyler B. Webb, senior law clerk, Levitt Law Firm, extraordinaire.
And what does the B stand for?
Britt, B-R-I-T-T. Thanks, Dad. Great, unique name there. I have a shout-out.
Give a shout-out.
One of my dad's really good friends, Chris Minky. Proud listener to the show, commented on my Facebook stat and said you have a new regular listener because he loves our show that much. Chris, thanks for listening.
Chris, great guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big shout out to Chris Minky.
Yep, known him since I was like 5 years old. Used to do four-wheeling and snowmobiling at his house. So thanks, Chris, for listening. It's always cool.
Can you imagine, on all the listeners, there's a lot of listeners out there who belong to, you know, biker clubs, or I'm a mountain biker, or a mountain bike club, or any type of club. You know, there's Masons, and there's Eagles, and Wild Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, there's
AKA
a
the
lot.
Flintstones.
Right, no, there's a lot out there.
You can confirm that a number of years ago, when we first met and got together, you approached me in regards to colonizing the SIGEP fraternity here at CMU.
I did, yep.
And what did we meet?
Well, a harsh brick wall of no's. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it was pretty much CMU said they wanted no affiliation.
And folks, not that you care, but Sigma Phi Epsilon is one of the largest social fraternities in the country. And they're an outstanding fraternity headquartered out of Richmond, Virginia. Almost every major university has a chapter. And in Michigan, the only university that doesn't have a SIGEP chapter is my alma mater, your school, Tyler, yeah. Central Michigan University. There's something wrong about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say there is maybe a potential stigma attached to fraternities, but they're great. Anyone that's involved in one has, you know, phenomenal experiences.
Here's my problem with adults. And we're adults here.
Yeah.
But adults in positions of authority, you know, whether it's a university, any type of authority, they are so fast to judge someone else or take action against an individual's, a.k.a. law enforcement, politicians. They should first judge themselves.
Yeah. Look
in
the mirror.
That's all I'm saying.
Look in the mirror.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we support law enforcement.
Oh,
and by the way,
unequivocally,
I mean, our hearts go out to all the law enforcement officers out there. Please keep safe.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I actually tweeted the other day. I put, you know, I respect any man or woman that's willing to put their life on the line to keep citizens of the United States safe. And people need to keep in mind that there's bad apples in every profession.
Yeah, big shout out. I know it's a show of shout outs, folks. And we got a lot of law we're going to get to in a moment. Big shout out to CMU, K campus police officers. Absolutely. They do a great job. I ran into a group of them at 7-Eleven the other day. I've been friends with these guys for years. The chief of police in the 1980s used to always help us out in our fraternity, and he's a great guy. So, you know, they do a great job too. CMU police officers, big shout out. And hey, you listen to the show. Tyler, we have a lot of law to get to.
Yes, let's talk about this Michigan State Police picking counties for roadside drug testing. So essentially, what I'm reading here, an article on MLive basically talks about how a new law instructs the Michigan State Police to pick five counties that's going to run a one-year pilot program for salvia-based testing. And they're going to test for drugs like marijuana, heroin, and cocaine. The officers that will be administering these tests, they're DRE officers, and Michigan has 99 of them, drug recognition experts. There are 99 of them in Michigan in 37 counties. It says DRE officers have highly specified training to allow them to identify drivers with drug impairment.
When is this program likely to begin, or is it being discussed in the House or Senate? What does your trustworthy information say there, Tyler Britt Webb, senior law clerk?
Well, Governor Snyder signed the bill in June, so my guess is that they're currently, you know, deciding which counties they're going to pilot. And it says they're going to try and target the five highest impairment counties. So they're going to look at, you know, all the convictions and look to see which counties have the most drug impairment and alcohol impairment arrests and target those counties.
Okay. They're trying to break down on fatalities, which, look, we don't want any fatalities out there. Michael J., who is, you know, one of my closest friends, he lost a son to drinking and driving. Every week you hear horrific stories. But
absolutely,
folks, there's other ways to combat, you know, drinking and driving and drugging, and we've talked about those on the show. This is so outrageous.
It's subjective.
It's subjective. I am just absolutely disgusted that the governor is going to allow a handful of counties to set up drug enforcement testing locations where you could be stopped in your motor vehicle, prevented from your constitutional right of movement and freedom, and ordered to take a drug test. What if I refuse? I'm an attorney. You're a law clerk. We're going to look this up. In fact, I'm going to invite, I got friends at the Michigan State Police, great friends. They do a great job. I'm not criticizing the Michigan State Police. They're just following the law here. But this is so unconstitutional. What about my Fourth Amendment right to search and seizure?
Right.
If you want to take my breath or my blood, that's an intrusion into my person. And I'll be damned if I'm going to allow a roadside police set up
right
to stop me and say, hey, I want to test your blood right now. I want you to take a swab. That is a disgusting intrusion into my person. And this is, I'm going to say right off the bat, I'm going to say it's unconstitutional. This has to be challenged by attorneys.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe we will challenge it.
It sets a really terrible precedent because attorney
Neil Rockkind, a good friend of mine from Oakland County, great attorney, former Oakland County prosecutor. What did he have to say about it?
He said the criminal justice system wants to take science and turn it into a fast, easy utility. Well, matter of the fact is, folks, science is neither fast or easy. So if you're going to sit here and say officers can now objectively judge people and say, well, you know, I think you may have, you know, marijuana in your system, so I'm going to swab you. Well, marijuana stays in your system for 30 days. How are they going to determine whether it's impairing you or not?
What individual out there does not know someone, including himself, who is not on some type of pharmaceutical medicine to balance their chemicals or to help with disability or to take medicine in regards to medical marijuana? And what are they going to do? Arrest the entire state of Michigan? And
right,
what are they going to do to all these drivers? This is so disgusting, folks. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. We got Nikki Moore set in studio, Tyler Britt Webb, my senior law clerk. You're listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you've missed any of the show, you can catch us on iTunes. It's free, Podbean, or SoundCloud. But we're talking with Tyler B. Webb about a very serious issue. And what's the issue, Tyler?
Well, Michigan State Police are now picking counties for a roadside drug testing pilot program. Essentially, they're going to be, you know, trying to implement this program that allows officers to test for drugs and alcohol in your system, not, you know, right then and there, not taking you back to the lab or to the hospital, but be able to do it on scene.
You know, here's what the problem is. Most of the population, not most, how do I know most? I can't statistically say most because I'm a fact-based lawyer. Things are or they are not. But just from my own personal experience of being born in the mid-60s, most people I know out there and meet are on some form of medicine. And now what's going to happen is you're going to get people who are going to be scared to take their medications for fear of being stopped and penalized or jailed and more severe penalties, cost. What's going to happen is these people are going to come down potentially with more mental illness, more disabilities. They're going to cause more accidents and more crimes and more problems for the government and the system than there ever would be for violating our constitutional right to search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment by setting up these roadside stops. We're going to find out, Tyler. I empower you, your Levitt Law Firm senior law clerk, future lawyer, to find out immediately which counties are going to this is going to take effect in, and we'll tell all the listeners so they can avoid those counties.
Right.
Think about the economics of the businesses in those counties when we announce who they are, and everyone's going to avoid getting off at those exits to go to that gas station, go to that convenience store, to go to that restaurant. This is disgusting.
Yeah, it really bothers me.
What is going on in Lansing?
Right. It bothers me because, and there's, like I said, we support law enforcement, but it bothers me because it's like, now that I'm a college student in a college town, a lot of college students use drugs and alcohol. So now if I'm pulled over automatically, oh, he's a college student, he's more likely to be using drugs or alcohol. And it's objective. It's too objective for me. Now officers are going to be able just to determine with their own eyes. And I just don't know. I don't know the amount of training that goes into this kind of stuff.
You said the governor signed the bill.
In June, yep.
Okay. If the governor signed the bill, then it was enacted in the House and Senate. And again, folks, once again, your elected officials are punishing you, the people, more so than they're already doing, which I say every week.
Yeah.
How much more do the, I mean, what?
How much more power do these people need?
I mean, I thought when you go to Lansing or Washington, you're supposed to do good for people. And you want to know something? Not once has my state senator or any of my representatives, wherever I have lived, have ever held town hall meetings or questioned or asked my opinion in regards to them putting their name on any bill that is passed or signed by the governor.
You know, folks.
And this is the same thing.
Absolutely. And just so we're clear, it is not okay to drive if you have been drinking or you do have drugs in your system. That is not what we're saying. What we're simply saying is this is just another tool for officers to potentially harass people when they aren't doing anything wrong. So
right. And the officers, in all fairness to the officers, the governor signs the law. Everything is then, it goes from the top down, and the officers are enforcing the laws as officers. So I'm not blaming the officers.
Oh, right.
I blame, again, our elected officials for once again, you know, putting us in this police state.
Yeah, exactly.
It's wrong.
That's what it is. And you put the cops and the officers in a hard position. You know
what
I mean?
And look what's already going on in the country.
Exactly where I'm getting. That's exactly where I was headed with this.
Look, good job, Michigan. It's Congressman.
It's very difficult to be a police officer nowadays. Now you go ahead.
You find out who sponsored this.
Oh, I will.
And folks, we're going to invite those people on this show. And guess what? You think they're going to respond to our calls, Tyler?
No.
Never. You know who will come on the show? Dr. Bob and Rep. Irwin. Oh, here we go. It's somebody from the UP. Let's see.
Tom Cap.
No, I don't think he was the one. We'll find out who's sponsored.
Yeah, I'm not
this.
Sure. Exactly.
We're going to let the people know. This show is for the people, for all the people. Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Tyler B. Webb, Nikki Moore said about this disgusting issue of roadside drug traffic enforcement stops and medical marijuana and pharmaceutical companies. We also have some questions from listeners, Tyler.
Yes,
so we'll
absolutely
get to those right after the break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We are fired up this morning right here on the show, Nikki.
Yeah, we are.
You have an opinion on this.
I'm pretty upset about that. I mean, if it ends up being one of the counties here in northern Michigan, I don't think that they have a right to pull me over just because I look like I could be, you know, smoking marijuana, just because I look different, that they should have a right to take my saliva or blood.
Talk about profiling.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to have to be doing.
It takes place every day, profiling.
I mean, it's not like getting pulled over a traffic stop where they say, oh, you know, like I did before, my light bulb was out above my license plate or something on your rearview mirror. This is different.
Now, then I ask you, we have laws in place already for operating with the presence of drugs.
Yes.
And operating while visibly impaired, operating while intoxicated, high BAC, super drunk, zero tolerance, which one of the elements, other than zero tolerance, because it's zero tolerance.
But right.
One of the elements in order to be convicted of those offenses is that the prosecutor has to prove that your ability was impaired. Therefore, you have to be operating a motor vehicle in such a manner that you were swerving,
right,
or reckless or careless, or there was an accident or filing too close. What we're talking about here, folks, is if you're in a particular county, one of five that will be chosen, and you're pulled over and they randomly drug test you and drugs appear in your system and you weren't driving and you weren't swerving, you were just randomly stopped. What's going to happen next? What happens to the laws on the books? The laws are in place already. They're harsh enough. Now you're just piling on the citizens again. This is a citizen pile on.
Yeah, I don't believe in this at all. I don't think this should be allowed to happen. And, you know, and they're picking these counties by the number of impaired driving crashes and driver's arrests. That's how they're choosing these counties. So it's the highest ones for impaired crashes and arrests.
They're trying to save lives.
Well, I can understand that. But like you said, they're profiling to see who they want to choose to pull over.
Or they just may set up a roadblock and stop 100 vehicles. And now people cannot get to work to support their families. They cannot pick up their children. They cannot get to doctor appointments. And people, as I said earlier in the last segment, folks, are not going to go to those counties, get off the highway, and use the services and the businesses that so depend on people who go through those highways.
Well,
spend money.
It's going to be just like the truck drivers with the weigh stations. They're going to make everybody pull in and everybody get tested.
This is outrageous. That, you know, we need to find out who sponsored this bill that the governor signed and have them on the show, folks.
Yes, we do. We need a lot more clarification.
We're going to also look up whether or not, and we should have done this before the show, what the Supreme Court has said, because this is not the first impression of roadside blocks and people being tested. This has gone on in other states. And I'm positive it's been brought up in courts, that it's gone up the courts, and maybe Tyler can look it up before the end of the show.
Yeah.
And tell us what's going on here. We'll bring Tyler back on the show. I think he's got some more information in regards to this outrageous proposition, which is now going to happen because the governor signed it. Is that right, Tyler?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were right. The bill sponsor is a guy from the United States, obviously from the UP, Tom Casperson. He was the bill sponsor, and allegedly, the reason why he became the sponsor is because there was a crash in the UP that caused a group of people to want, you know, start this initiative.
Okay, I'm very sorry, and again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims, because we know individuals personally who have lost loved ones from drinking and driving. And in full disclosure, I am a specialist in representing people who get charged with drinking and driving, yet I refuse to represent anyone who has caused death or serious injury to another individual.
That's
most
true.
Of the people we represent, Tyler, you know, they go out, they're enjoying themselves. They should not drink and drive, but some of them drink to the level where they're not sure if they're intoxicated or not. I'm not telling the audience to get behind the wheel after consuming alcohol. In fact, take a cab, call a designated
driver.
It's
always cheaper to do that.
But I'm referring to some of the people we've seen over the decades.
Right.
You know,
I just think this enables profiling, and Nikki hit it on the head when she said it. I just think that enables law enforcement, and again, it's putting them in a bad spot. I mean, it just enables them to use their instincts or whatnot and harass people. I mean, can you imagine like what this is going to cause, and if it's in like Oakland County or a big county like that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm just shocked, and we're going to stay on this, folks, because this show, the Todd Levitt Law Show, it's here for you. We try to be your voice. This is a platform for you. So you could also email me go centralmichiganlawyer at gmail.com, centralmichiganlawyer at gmail.com. I've heard from a lot of amazing listeners. We have friends in Lansing that come up and listen to the show. We have Harry and Temple and Larry out there and a lot of listeners.
Wherever we go, it seems like someone's like, hey, aren't you guys on the radio? And I'm like, yeah, I am actually. That's awesome. 98.5.
Here's 98.5 WUPS. That's right. Todd Rockblock right here, 7 days a week.
Right.
All right, here's a question from a listener. Where does the money collected from traffic citations go? That's a great question. Where does the money collected from traffic citations go? Tyler, would you like to answer that?
Yeah, I mean, based on the research I was able to find, it doesn't say, well, first, it doesn't go to roads, just so everyone knows. So if you're pulled over on the road, the money doesn't go to roads. It says 100% of the fine portion, which is like the penalty, like the, what they tack on, 100% of that goes to state or public libraries. Which is pretty cool. I mean,
okay, I support libraries because when I was a kid, you were way too young to know this, and but the listeners will know this. I couldn't wait for this truck to come around the neighborhood where you could buy books off the truck. I always, you know, my attention span is what it is. I always had to have like highlights. I needed like People Magazine books. I needed something with pictures and big captions. I didn't want to sit there and read all day. Obviously, you can hear my personality, but look. With the internet and Amazon and everything online, I'm still for libraries, although all the borders have pretty much shut down. So why are these tickets so expensive? And maybe the money should be going somewhere else. Or because libraries, I'm not saying they're extinct, but I think they may be coming extinct, which is sad because I like libraries. But here's what I'm saying, Tyler. I like to see the fines cut in half and the money spread out to something other than libraries, because how many people out there actually go to libraries? I know there's a lot that do, but I would say more don't.
True. And my only rebuttal to that is 10 years ago, it wasn't, you know, we weren't streaming. We had CDs, you know, paper and books. They're always going to be around. That technology will be there. The only thing that's going to destroy a book is fire or water. So but I do agree that.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
It is. I mean, isn't it though?
Can you say it again?
I'm just saying. Like,
no, seriously.
Libraries, the only value they hold is because books will always be there. That technology will always be there. If we start converting everything to, you know, online, well, in 10 years, is it still going to be the computer or is it going to be something else?
Now, I'm older. I do like the smell of a library, especially when I went to law school at Detroit College of Law. You know, that library was 100 years old. So I'm all for libraries. I don't want all these phone calls. Oh, you said you're against libraries. What about people learning and reading? All I'm saying is there's so much online now that everybody, so many people, especially the new generations, get their information as I do online.
Oh, that's true.
So I would like to see some of that money go towards something else.
Be appropriated a little bit.
Exactly.
Better.
Or just give out less speeding tickets, because here's the problem.
I agree with that.
I always said two things. One, there should be a speeding lane like the Autobahn in Germany. And second, there should be a lane for all the marijuana users who are just chillaxing down the highway.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm just saying.
Revolutionary.
If you're chillaxing and you're just chilling and illing, you want to get in the marijuana lane and just take your time and munch on some Doritos and just go about your way. I'm just saying, I would personally like to chillax on the highway.
Well, I think that
chillax and relax.
You know what
chillaxing
lane is really needed more than
my buddy
than
Jerry Norris. He is the first one I ever heard that from. My good buddy from Grand Ledge. He's an entrepreneur. Jerry Norris, I love you, buddy. Great guy. He's the founder of Fledge. Look up Fledge.com. I'm not going to talk about it, but Jerry Norris, Fledge.com, great stuff.
You know, Todd, I think the only lane that's really needed is we need to get our truckers their own lane so they have to deal with all the cars on the highway. If truckers had their own lanes, not only would they feel safer, but I think like they would get to chillax.
Truckers are very chillaxed, and I have a lot of friends. Biker Bob, big shout out to Biker Bob out there. He's coming on the show. Bob McCauley. Folks, wait till you hear from Biker Bob. He's one of my lifetime friends. He's in a motorcycle club. He's a great guy. Biker Bob's coming on the show. He's been an over-the-road trucker. Used to drive for some of the big companies. I'm not going to say their names because they're not sponsoring the show. But Biker Bob's coming on the show, hopefully down the road. Truckers don't get enough respect out there on the road. Vehicles just swerve around these trucks. They come up upon them. Drivers make it very dangerous for truckers to do their jobs.
That's true.
Most of the truckers, in fact, once in a while, you'll see a trucker who's going too fast or something. But for the most part, they're following the laws. Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back, Nikki has something to say. We have more questions from the audience,
yep.
CentralMichiganLawyer@gmail.com. And we want to get to this, Tyler. What is that we want to get to?
We want to talk about how the pharmaceutical companies are fighting legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, and obviously it's all about money.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know that. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, fired up for the people of the state of Michigan and those enjoying pure Michigan. So, folks, get out of the house, get on your motorcycle, go for a walk, take a bike ride, go on the boat, be safe, don't drink and drive, don't, you know, drug and drive. Just be safe and have a great day.
Yes, and you know, we got to give a shout out to all the motorcyclists because this is the time of year where there's a lot of accidents and stuff. But I think we should touch back on the laws with the helmets.
Well, we have a question from a listener.
Yeah.
And this listener is from Everett.
Okay.
Where Ice Mountain is from.
Oh, all right.
Wait, am I right about that?
Is that Ice Mountain?
Ice Mountain.
Is it?
It is.
I don't know. It's one of the waters.
I'm going to just I'll just go on a limb and say so.
All right.
All right. Yeah, and the question is, what is the Michigan motorcycle helmet law? And this is from Julie. Oh, a lady biker.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's more of them around now. Well,
there's a lot of lady bikers, yes. But please keep an eye out and keep our men and women safe on the bikes.
Yes, please.
Or all pedestrians as well.
Yes.
Do not text and drive.
No,
I'm so tired of watching vehicles swerving as I'm heading in their direction. And now, more than ever, as I drive, I always look for an out. Do you ever do that?
Oh, that yes, I do, actually.
I always look. I'm in a big truck, so I'm always looking, okay, if this car or truck swerves my way, am I safe to go this or that way?
Right.
I don't know if other people do that. I'm always thinking like that.
Yeah, you have to.
Absolutely. So the question is, what is Michigan motorcycle helmet law? Well, the statute is MCL 257 under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code. That's 257 represents the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code. 0.658, a motorcycle operator in Michigan is not required to wear a helmet if all of the following apply. So there are individuals who are required to wear helmets. Most are not, and we'll bring Tyler back on, our trustworthy Levitt senior law clerk here at Levitt Law Firm, 989-772. To tell us what the law is, Nikki. He's doing a great job, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Tyler's great. Future lawyer.
989-772-6000, Todd. There you go.
Talk to Jackie Donner, Tyler.
Oh, yeah, Seth. Absolutely. Whenever I'll talk to anybody all day. Call. Tell me you love the show. Anyway, so you don't have to wear a helmet if you're at least 21 years old, you've had your motorcycle for at least 2 years, or has successfully passed an approved motorcycle safety course. And lastly, Todd, you need to have at least $20,000 in medical insurance coverage.
Absolutely. It makes me nervous. I have a lot. Most of my friends, they have motorcycles.
You should wear a helmet.
Great, beautiful, gorgeous bikes. It makes me nervous for them. But again, I'm not on a motorcycle. I'm on a fat bike. I'm a mountain biker. And I'll agree, nothing feels better to me when I don't have my helmet on, which is almost all the time. Mm-hmm. But if I just, after a long, hot day of biking 20 miles in the woods, the last half a mile, I may remove my helmet. And the wind blowing in my face and the smell and just the experience is amazing. But it does make me nervous, not because the operators are dangerous, but as we say all the time, I'm worried about the other idiots on the road who are in motor vehicles, you know, that just don't pay attention when there's motorcyclists around. So I worry for our brothers and sisters.
Oh, absolutely. That's the biggest thing. Whether you're driving a motorcycle or a car, you don't worry about yourself. You worry about everyone else. So if you're a passenger, a motorcycle passenger, you're not required to wear a helmet if you're 21 years old or you have $20,000 in medical insurance. So that's kind of interesting. I didn't know the insurance part.
Absolutely. And we're a big supporter of Abate Michigan. Great organization. Now, let's get to Tyler because we're in our last segment and we're going to finish really strong here.
Let's do it.
There is a body of research now, folks, showing that painkiller abuse and overdose are lower in states with medical marijuana laws. Now, these studies have generally assumed that when medical marijuana is available, pain patients are increasingly choosing pot over powerful and deadly prescription narcotics. But that's always been just an assumption, Tyler. But now a new study released in the Journal of Health Affairs, validates these findings by proving clear evidence of a missing link in the causal chain running from medical marijuana to falling overdoses. So what the study is showing, and by the way, it was done by a daughter and father pair of researchers at the very prestigious University of Georgia. And they found that in 17 states with medical marijuana laws in place by 2013, prescriptions for painkillers, and this is what Dr. Bob was talking about, and other classes of drugs fell sharply compared with those states that did not have medical marijuana laws. And the drops in this study were quite significant. So in medical marijuana states, the average doctor prescribed 265 fewer doses of antidepressants each year, 486 fewer doses of seizure medications, and 54 fewer anti-nausea doses. That's pretty interesting. But most strikingly, guys, the typical physician in a medical marijuana state prescribed close to 2,000 fewer doses of painkillers in a given year. But here's the issue. Obviously, and we've heard that medical marijuana helps for glaucoma, memory, all different types of things. But the pharmaceutical companies, and this is on the record, the pharmaceutical companies have lobbied federal agencies directly to prevent the liberalization of marijuana laws. And there's a case out there, folks, and it was uncovered, by the way, by the Senator Gillibrand from New York.
Okay.
And pharmaceutical companies have lobbied federal agencies directly to prevent the liberalization of marijuana laws. And Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat from New York, says that the Department of Health and Human Services recommended that the naturally derived THC, which is, folks, the main psychoactive component of marijuana, be moved from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 of the Controlled Substance Act, which is a less restrictive category that would acknowledge the drug's medical use and make it easier to research and prescribe. Now, several months after the Health and Human Services submitted its recommendation, at least one drug company that manufactures a synthetic version of THC, which would presumably have to compete with any natural derivatives, wrote to the DEA to express opposition to rescheduling natural THC, citing the abuse potential in terms of the need to grow and cultivate substantial crops of marijuana in the United States. The DEA ultimately rejected the Health and Human Service recommendation without explanations. Big money, folks, pharmaceutical companies. That's the fear
of
the entire citizenship, at least that I'm aware of, in the state of Michigan, that when it's legalized in Michigan, the people are going to be pushed off to the side, as they always are by politicians, except Jeff Irwin and Dr. Bob,
right,
and a few others. And it's going to be left to the big money sucking corporations who have the ability to lobby the state, local, and federal governments.
That's so frustrating.
Shocking, Tyler.
Right. That's so frustrating because clearly this study shows that medical marijuana is helping people in states in which you can obtain it. And clearly by saying like less prescriptions of painkillers, and I think everyone knows, no one wants to be on harsh prescription drugs ever. And the fact that medical marijuana is alleviating people from having to go that route, obviously it's costing the pharmaceutical companies money, and that's why they're opposing it. I mean, they want to make money. They don't care about helping people. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, it seems ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. We're going to stay on this issue, Tyler. We're also going to stay on the issue of those roadside blocks. So next week, we'll come back strong.
Oh, yeah.
With some information. You're going to do some research, you said, during break.
Yes.
We look forward to that. So, Tyler, we've got to end the show here. You have a great Sunday, and...
So, yeah, I mean, you can catch us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podbean if you miss any of the previous shows. And we're going to bring Nikki back on to wrap it
Tyler,
up.
Tyler, have a great weekend. Say hi to the family, all your friends.
Absolutely.
Great job. We'll see you next week. Nikki, as always, what a great show.
This was a great show.
We're fired off.
Yes, we are. So now it's time to be fired up for the rest of the day.
I'm just trying to represent the interest of our listeners of the show. Look, this show does not represent the thoughts of the owners of the station or WUPS, they strictly represent Todd L. Levitt's thoughts and opinions.
Correct.
Or our sponsors.
Right.
But we appreciate all our sponsors.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We do.
Well, hey, you have a great Sunday.
I'm going to. You too.
I know. I'm
going to
go watch planes.
There you go.
Over crops. I mean, these pilots.
Enjoy that.
No, these pilots who fly these crop planes, call my office at 99-772-6000 Levitt Law Firm. Come on the show. Explain who you are, because you guys are fire pilot jets. These guys are these men and women.
They know how to fly.
I'm staying away from the planes because I don't want chemicals. I'm not sure what's coming out of the plane.
Right.
But wow.
Yes, I know.
I'm going home and I'm making a paper airplane.
There you go.
And I'm going to bring it next week on the show. I don't know how to do origami. I don't have the brain for that. Paper airplane. I'm throwing it to Tyler. Tyler's going to throw it to you. Nikki, have a great day. Everybody out there, we love you. Have a happy, healthy Sunday. Without further ado, what do I say?
You're not just a litigator.
I'm an advocator. Take us out, Van Halen.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house. Safe Ride Associates. Check with Neil for all your communication needs, from intercom to CB to Bluetooth, and by Innovative Insulation Solutions for those cold and hot days. Make sure your insulation pays.